This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It has been 8 days since the earthquake and tsunami struck countries around the Indian Ocean, killing an estimated 150,000 people. In this segment, we'll hear from three countries with the highest tolls: Indonesia, Sri Lanka, and India. After a week of chaos, the situation has improved somewhat in Banda Aceh, the capital of the Indonesian province that was hit hardest.
The torrential tropical rainstorms have stopped for now. Aftershocks have lessened, and the first large-scale distributions of food and water have been handed out to survivors. But for many, things are still quite grim. NPR's Adam Davidson is in Banda Aceh and joins us. And Adam, tell us, please, what the signs are that you're seeing of things getting slightly better in the capital there.
I'd say the most striking sign is just the central area downtown near the ocean. Yesterday, I walked around there, and it was still complete chaos, complete ruins, entire buildings, huge coconut trees, and countless dead bodies littered the streets everywhere. Shockingly, today, all of that debris has been cleared. I saw almost no dead bodies. Yesterday, there were hundreds, maybe thousands. I saw the very first clean water being given out by the Australian Army. I saw food rations being given out. So there were profound signs of change, but of course, much, much more is needed.
And what are you hearing about conditions farther down the west coast there, where aid groups have had a much tougher time getting in?
A lot of the villages have simply not even been reached yet. Nobody knows the conditions. There's some villages where it's assumed everybody's dead. There's other villages where there are people presumably still alive, but aid hasn't reached them. And there's other villages where, for example, U.S. military helicopter pilots see people but are just unable to meet all the need that's there. So once you get out of the city into the more rural areas, it's a very grim situation, and it's going to take a bit more time before any aid at all reaches most of them.
The aid that's getting in now, is there some coordination among all the groups that are now getting into Banda Aceh? Are they coordinating efforts, or does it seem to be a pretty random operation?
There's a little of both. There's a lot of random. The most direct aid, the aid that actually is reaching most people, is actually coming from various Indonesian groups. Yesterday I met a group of actors from Jakarta who just decided to get as much money and food together, and they just flew up here and distributed aid. These kind of small aid missions are all over the province in various areas, but there's nowhere near enough aid from these small groups to serve the need. The larger groups, the UN, the big non-governmental organizations like Oxfam, CARE International, yesterday they reached an agreement to divide up Aceh province so that each would control or would coordinate a certain province's aid distribution. But that's only just beginning. At this point, I think it's more drawings on a map than anything that's actually happening on the ground.
What's the next big hurdle that the relief groups say they need to overcome to start to stabilize the situation there?
The big aid groups need much more than is available here. And so basically what they're doing is flying it all in, and that just takes time. The UN on Wednesday is planning to airlift in a whole city of prefab houses just to house and feed aid workers. They're beginning to acquire drivers. It's taken over a week to find the drivers to begin bringing trucks of food up here. So the aid groups are very confident that this week we'll see major improvements in those logistical problems that will allow aid to really get out to the people who need it most.
When you hear that markets are starting to reopen in Banda Aceh, I read this weekend that the coffee house, a well-known coffee house, was back in business. And at the same time, hear about these hundreds of thousands of displaced people who have nothing. It sounds like you've got two very different populations now living side by side.
There is a major difference. I mean, there's literally a line that goes through the middle of Banda Aceh. On one side of it is complete devastation. On the other side is untouched. But you wouldn't want to overstate the benefits of living in the part that hasn't been affected, because those folks also are awfully low on food. So I'd say pretty much everyone in Banda Aceh is having a tough time. There are those who are better off and worse off in that context.
NPR's Adam Davidson is in Banda Aceh in Indonesia. Adam, thanks very much.
Thank you, Melissa.